Sunny in Melbourne today, a top of 14 degrees, a shower or two tomorrow. Windy as well, 14 the top. Back to sunshine on Monday. Our listener app is the new home of Triple M. Join up to listen live or on demand now.
Shut up! The foot is on Triple M!
It's time.
Here we go!
Time for the Saturday run.
Get around him!
Ahead of your Triple M footy triple header.
Get your facts right.
Lighten up, take your tie off.
Hard yakka. For a new breed of legends.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
No, oh, this is going to be interesting. I'm in Perth. Ahead of the Saturday rub. I've lost all sort of contact with the MCG. Can't see anyone. Can't hear anyone, but I'm telling you now, Taylor Adams is going to join us shortly. Superstar, of course, from Collingwood. Big game coming up at the MCG. Quiz, Nuff Nuff, news. I don't know who's there. I can see the beautiful host, Mary. I can't see anyone at the G. Purple, are you there?
Yes, I am, Jim, and I can hear you, most importantly. And the crew is actually here for a little bit of time. One of us who is in Melbourne, Jim, actually has to leave in about, I've been told, 58 minutes' time, and we'll have to get that at some stage.
I cannot believe this. Welcome to you. Welcome, Duck.
Yes, g'day, Jim. Good job last night. Good win, wasn't it?
Flat game.
Flat, you reckon?
Yep, flat game.
Freo
did not come to play for me, and Melbourne were way too good. Nice to see you, Fat.
If I hear the Brayshaw name again, I'm going to spew up. I'm sick of you. I'm sick of Angus. I'm sick of Andrew. I'm sick of Lisa Brayshaw.
I'm sick of Mark as well. Bill.
Mark Brayshaw.
Get to that in a minute. Bernard,
Brayshaw,
hello to you.
Poo-poo.
Hello, Jim. I'll just cut him off. Fresh off. Actually, last night, Jim, I was at the 97-98 Premiership reunion for Adelaide. So, interesting night. Duck's name came up a couple of times.
Would have.
It did. Yeah, it did. And
he didn't play in 97-98.
No. 98 he played. Yeah. But he didn't win. But he was mentioned a few times. I interviewed a few people on stage and they thought that,
well, not for the Crows in
the most. Well, he contributed, they reckon.
Missing goals.
I should have been invited, to be honest.
You should have.
I have fighting 6:15
at half time, yeah. And he got a few mentions. But Blighty, I interviewed Blighty at one. It was getting wrapped up.
No, they had enough of you.
I interviewed Blighty and he just took over. He was brilliant last night.
Because Bernie said, what should I ask him? I said, just say, how good were you, Malcolm? How long did he go for an hour?
I had to pull him to go find him. He started walking around, and he was very good. Had Shane Ellen up, Sean Wren, Roo.
Roo, what did Roo say?
Roo was, he was bringing it up a little bit.
Yeah, great.
I actually had to hold up, do sign language when he was talking. He was very good. Mentioned you a little bit, Roo. He did, but it was good. 750 people.
750 people.
Yeah, so
750.
More than they get at a game.
Come on.
The Crows, they've got a massive match.
Good following.
Just going.
Fat, where are you going, please? Like, this is actually, you're taking the piss. You're leaving early today to go to a cashie in Launceston with John Rombotis.
Rombo.
Is that true?
No, I've got to get back to Geelong. There's something happening.
No, you don't.
Because Joel's asked for me to be part of something special before the game.
No, he hasn't. Where are you going? Where are you going?
Joel's asked you to be involved.
No, look, a funeral, so I can't say
Bill,
much about it.
It's not
a
Bill, funeral, Bill. Are you going?
I don't want to talk about it.
What are you doing in Tassie, Bill? What are you doing?
He's having a drink at the moment, Jim.
I'm going over there with Rombo and a good friend of ours. Not with us anymore, so we're just going to funeral. So we shouldn't.
No, you're not. That's not a funeral. Completely incorrect.
We've checked this out. It's not a funeral.
So we don't talk about it.
Yeah. A good friend.
Good friend. Yeah.
No, it's just something that's been in the book for a while now with Rombo, and it's a...
but so's your requirements to work on Triple M between 12 and 2 Saturday afternoon. It's just a lock.
And that should take priority.
I don't know how many times you've had a look, how many flights there are to Melbourne, to Launceston, Damien.
To Melbourne.
From Melbourne to Launceston. Yeah. There's only like one or two a day.
Okay.
So if you don't catch the 205 one.
But work comes first, Bill.
It does.
Well, I'm sick of working.
Hear him?
Because that's all I do. I work 4-5 days a week, and then I do this bloody rub.
2 hours on a radio station where you butcher jokes.
And it's top rating radio station. And I have to come in Saturday mornings. I don't get paid.
Yes, you do.
I don't think I do. So I just have a bit of bill time.
I would argue that we pay you a hell of a lot more than Rombo's going to in Potsdam and Launceston. So your commitment should be here.
How many jumpers have you got packed?
Yeah. I got two. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's the best auctioneer.
Right? I know, he is.
He's very, very good.
And Steve Hocking wasn't at training this week, so I ducked in. You know what's happened down at Geelong right now?
Tell me, Bill.
An hour ago. Because the ground is a bit of a mud heap, to be honest.
I was there last week and it was very muddy, yeah.
A helicopter has flown in.
Hovered.
And it's that far from the ground, a metre from the ground, and drying the ground as we speak.
Yep.
There's 10,000 people turned up.
To watch it hover.
They're selling tickets. Mate,
Bill.
That's true. There's a helicopter. They've new turf down the middle, so a lot of new turf.
Very muddy.
At Cadinia Park, and there's a helicopter at the ground as we speak.
Yeah, that just underscores how little there is to do in Geelong.
How shut off they are to the world.
Now, shall we have a go at Jim now?
We have to, Bill.
Now, Jim, now just shut up for a minute, because fair dinkum. We all know you were born and raised in Perth, okay?
Yes.
You were sent to Adelaide. Because you're a turd. You're a turd at school in Perth, and you got sent to Adelaide. Yes,
that's true. To share me round,
toughen him up a bit.
So the problem we get, and then of course you come over to Melbourne for a while, and probably not
that's
that
it.
Well known. Not Star that well
there.
Known, to be honest. But when you go back to Perth, you are a fair dinkum. You're a knob, and you're a nuffy. An absolute knob and nothing.
Well, Bill, I witnessed this firsthand last year during the finals period.
That's right.
Yeah, so I can verify what you're saying
there.
Here.
Oh, yeah. And not just you, the love of your life, Lisa. Wow, she's on TV last night because they flashed the old Brayshaw. There's Lisa. Had the mirror out and putting lippy on and off.
Mascara.
Mate, mascara. And they had a blue and it was called Ran because it was crying.
Eyeshadow.
Oh, mate, everything possible. Had a new frock on from the local hardware shop. Anyway, she thinks she's the queen of Perth now because everyone's texting and ringing her. I can't get her to turn up to my joint to help with me reno, but she's over in Perth floozing around. And then, of course, queen of the TV. Could I just say?
Yeah, I think
Rosie's
hovering over the button.
And like that helicopter.
And then out on the ground, what about the interview between the Brayshaws? Oh, well, so you've got Angus have signed a 6-year deal, right?
Yep.
You've got Andrew, who's going to be the Brownlow favourite, and it is. So Jim sees an opening. Yeah. This is an opening for Jimmy to get out on the grass.
It was me that saw it.
I don't know if it's called riding on the coattails or milking or bandwagon or whatever it is, but Uncle James.
Jumping on them.
Hear Uncle James one more, I'll spew up. I've had enough. And even you couldn't even play football, but you're out in the ground. Even your brother was a better footballer than you. He played football, and I'm sick of you, Jim.
Bill, what's happened here is he's no longer the biggest Brayshaw in the family, and he's got a swan in on Angus and Andrew.
That's right.
And it was, I'm glad you raised it.
He's saying he's third.
Easily third.
Oh, easily.
He may be fourth because Mark is doing something very special in the medicinal cannabis space. Yeah. So couldn't get out.
He's in the Caribbean.
I'm on the product.
So is Jim. Jim's on it at the minute. We're bouncing around.
But Bill, this interview last week, you interviewed Angus on the Rush Hour on Monday or Tuesday. You interviewed Andrew on Friday.
I'll tell you something. Yeah. We interviewed Angus. Beautiful. It went for 15 minutes. We had to cut it up to two segments.
Yep.
This is on the Wednesday night. Doesn't say boo to Uncle James about the signing.
Oh,
so we've got it in the can. We're going to play it the next day. It's a nice interview. It's the biggest decision of my life, Uncle James. I don't know what to do, Uncle James.
He'd already done
this
it.
This is the night before. Mate, this Uncle James, I've got to do my due diligence, Uncle James.
Diligence?
whatever. The greatest interview you've ever heard.
You're on the cannabis too, Bill.
Diligence.
He needs some.
Anyway, next morning we wake up because he's on the show that day. We've put it over a day.
Yeah.
He signs a 6-year deal. Did not mention it to Uncle James.
And I can't verify this, Byrne, but you've got connections at Melbourne. Yes. I got told by a Melbourne player at the start of this year. Now, I haven't verified it, so it may not be right, but I'm prepared to go with it.
I'll get to the bottom of it.
That this player had been told by Angus that when Jim interviews him on any form of media, that he has to call him. He says, you call me Uncle James. I reckon there's some evidence to this because I heard this during the week. I heard it last night during the pre-match interview that he had, Bill, with Channel 7.
Never condone violence, Uncle James. We'll never.
There's something in it,
Bill.
I'll tell you what it is, Fat, and you can shut your fat head for a second and listen. I'll tell you what it is. It's called respect, and you could have some too every now and then. That's a young man having respect for his great uncle. Both of them, in fact. And as for saying I'm coming third, Bernard, give me a spell. I'm that far ahead of those two. It doesn't matter, Duck, and they know it. They're trailing in behind, and they've just got to learn the caper.
There's mention of fourth.
No, there's something else too.
We are worried about you, Jim, because you're trying to get all your friends around you. You've already got your punter. Great mate, punter on Channel 7. Then you've got Bluey, your second best mate. You got him across from Foxtel or Nine or wherever he was, and he's there. And then we hear last night, Bernie. Oh, exclusive revelation.
Exclusive.
His third best mate, JL, is joining him as well on Channel 7. You're just bringing them all in, Jim, under the umbrella.
All sit around and look at each other.
Bernard, let me just say this. Yes, the other mob over the other side were throwing millions at him. But eventually loyalty counts. Bill, again, you can listen up. Yes, and he stays with Seven. He'll be magnificent over the course of the summer. It's nice to have him on board.
What's he going
to
bring?
Oh, what's he going to bring? He's only been in that dressing room for 6 years. I reckon he's going to bring some decent insight. Mm. Only played 100 test matches himself.
Right. Hey, I hope you've got a little stepladder for him or something, because you can't see him. But anyway, now we're nearly finished with you, Jim. But
Not yet.
Something come across my desk.
No.
So I'm on my computer, memos and emails.
Were you doing your due diligence?
And I'm listening to my podcast because I'm very passionate about that, the listener app. So I'm there, and guess what popped up from the AFL? AFL 2022 Brownlow invitee list.
Yep.
Demo, right?
Oh. You got access to this.
So I did. I don't know how, but it comes through. Actually, you sent it to me. But anyway, so it comes through. And I'm reading A's, and yeah, they're all there, all of A's. A's. And then
who's an A? Give me an example.
Anderson.
Allen. And then, I get to B.
Brad
right?
Allen.
Yeah, Brad Allen. Then I get to the B's. Yep. So no, Brownless, of course.
Yep.
But no. Brayshaw. Definitely not.
Really?
Brayshaw.
Really?
Times two.
Plus one.
That'd be Angus. Andrew's a favourite.
No, it's not A, and it's not Angus, and it's not Andrew. It's J. Brayshaw.
Jay? Of course it is.
Oh.
No, he hates these.
Of course it is.
He's like the Logies. He doesn't like going to these things.
He hates these. So, James Brayshaw.
Times two.
Times two.
Or plus one. Or plus one.
Whichever one.
Bill, you wouldn't go to the Brownlow if someone paid you, would you? It's the most boring night.
Jim says the Logies are the most boring night ever, and the Brownlow. Yep. You give me $1 million, I wouldn't even go.
Yeah.
So, Jim, why are you going to the Brownlow?
Oh. I get invited to everything. It's just a matter of whether I go or not. That's how
What's your mail, Bill?
Opening of an envelope.
Well, the other mail is he wasn't invited because he's not the president anymore and he hasn't got that much pull in Melbourne. Yeah, okay. No, it was in Perth he might got invited. But he rang. Jim.
This is complete fabrication, not who did ring, by the way. You're
Jim,
making shit up.
Rang Gill.
Oh! No!
Rang Gill. Oh, Gill, old mate, I need a couple of tickets to Brownlow. Can you help me out?
And can you do that?
Well, I can't.
No, you can't. Jim can. No, because you haven't got any pull.
I can.
Oh. Now, Jim, is that right? Is that
no,
right?
That's incorrect. And stop making stuff up, fat guts. I'm telling you.
I guess confirmation.
Fat guts. I got it.
I'm going because they need some sizzle. And I can see why. The thing needs to be elevated, fat.
You
that's the only
Lisa.
Reason.
Where's the sizzle, the plus one?
Jim, you would have been to a couple of Brownlows. Why would you want to go?
Because Lisa wants to go.
I've got to be brutally honest. I'm not that fond about going, but every now and then you take the hit.
Fair dinkum, Jim. Absolute flog.
We've got Taylor Adams coming up. Hey, by the way, I'll ask you this, Bernard. Did we make a bit too much of Jake Melcham grabbing the jump? I actually thought that was funny. Through the tunnel?
I think it was fine.
Who's making anything of it, though, Jim?
I don't know. There's some people up in arms.
They talk about it.
Really? Are they?
No.
Oh, that was funny.
The bloke's funny putting Jackson the number six on the back, and he was funny grabbing it. I hope we don't get buried up in that sort of crap, because you're allowed to have fun last time I checked.
Exactly, yes, Jim. I'm with you there. Yep. Lisa's just texted me.
Oh.
I'd shut up now, Bill.
She confirmed that.
She's about to sharpen up her invoice.
But yes, we're going yes. to the Brownlow.
Yes, we are.
She's about to sharpen her invoice up, Fat. There's another couple of O's for you to contend with.
She's at Scanlon Theodore now.
A frock.
Taylor Adams to join us next for Hard Yakka, by the way. New breed of Aussie legends. Toughness is in their DNA. No shortcuts. They make it tough like me. They make it look good like me. Born in 1930. Taylor Adams next. And we are at the MCG for McDonald's and Remont Water. Triple M Rocks Footy.
Now you can stream every AFL match live with Triple M Footy.
Beautiful finish.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
Saturday afternoon, MCG is the venue for Port Adelaide and Collingwood. Wayne Carey is in the house. Bill Brownless not for much longer, and then he's going to earn about $750 in Launceston. Bernard Vince is there. Damo is there, of course. And we have down on the boundary a man who's been a star for a long, long time for Collingwood, Taylor Adams. He's a ripper, and his club are trying to win 10 in a row, if you don't mind. Taylor, have we got you?
You do, JB. How we going? Now,
mate, I'm in Perth. I'm going to ask you this question, then I'm handing you over to these clowns in Melbourne, and this will be the only decent question you get, by the way. At the start of the season, with a brand new coach, could you have ever believed you'd be in the top four and aiming at a double chance in the finals with this group? Be honest.
No, absolutely not. I mean, you're hopeful at the start of the year with so much change. Well, you might have lost me there for a second. Yeah, it was, you know, probably more hopeful than anything. We had a really good pre-season, but yeah, to be aiming to win our 10th game in a row and be sitting in the top four currently, we're in a great position, and it probably caught a lot of people by surprise so far.
Yeah, you're just finding a way at the moment, Tay, aren't you? Because last four games, 7 points or less, seven of the last eight, under 11 points. Have you got set plans for late in the game, or has it just been luck of the draw?
Yeah, no, we certainly do. We lost that game against Geelong in, I think it was like round four or five, where we blew a 40 or 30 point lead, and after that we sort of reschooled our momentum swings and being able to get back in front and then hold leads and stop the other team from kicking goals, one after the other. So since then we've done a lot of work on it, and we've had a lot of practice on game days, obviously, and yeah, we've been really, 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 really good in that situation this year.
I want to ask you about Ash Johnson as well, because you've been able to just find players and players we haven't really heard of. And, you know, he's a mid-season draft coming over from South Australia, from Sturt. Three goals again last week. Have you been surprised with his rise?
Not really. Obviously, Derek Hine did a great job in finding him last year. And, yeah, he's got enormous talent and one of the best athletes that I've played with. And he's coming off the back of an injury where he had basically a mini preseason in the middle of the year where he got himself super fit and super strong, and we've seen his talent. It's God given, and he's got plenty of it. So I actually said to my old man before he debuted against Adelaide, I said he probably kicked five goals today the way he's been training.
Kicked a couple
and looked pretty lively. So, and that was in the wet. So yeah, he's walking past you right now. He's a superstar for us, and just love having him in the team.
Taylor, you've had a lot of high moments at Collingwood, prelim finals, a grand final, other celebrated events within your time as a Collingwood player. The Pendlebury to Moore to Bianco to Elliott passage last week and subsequent celebrations, where's that rank in your joy as a Collingwood player?
Yeah, it's definitely top two or three. Obviously, that prelim final in 2018 was nice, and a couple of finals backs against the wall, over in that one over in Perth was pretty special. But that was, that one-off play, they're probably, one in 100 that they come off. And, I was speaking to a few of the boys after the game. It was like, you almost go from this really high to, almost you feel pretty crappy after games, as most of you guys would know. And so you got this, elation, and then all of a sudden you get brought back down to earth pretty quickly and know that you got to play another game in 6 days. So, it was an incredible 30 seconds of play, and for Jamie to go back and slot that, given the pressure and the position on the ground that he was kicking from, clearly one of the better moments that I've been a part of as a player.
Hey Taylor, give us a bit of an update on Brody Grundy, obviously playing in the VFL today. Is it?
Yeah, he's playing right now. Yeah,
yeah. How's he been training, and when do you see him back in the side?
Yeah, he's going really well. He, obviously a little bit delayed given that the VFL had a bye last week. So it's been about 15 weeks between games, and yeah, he looks great. I know he's playing a bit of forward ruck this week in the VFL. So Given the impact that Coxie and Darcy have had, it just means that we're able to sort of slowly bring him back in rather than having to rush him back in. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him next week or the week after. But he's trending really well and he looks really good.
Hey, Port Adelaide, Tay, they're not shooting the lights out as such in terms of wins, but they're actually in pretty good form without actually winning at the moment. Boak's going really well. Wines, Rosie's in the career best form. Butters and Finlayson and Dixon doing a good job in the ruck. You'd have to be on your game today, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, we scouted them, obviously, throughout the week, and their last probably six weeks of footy have been really, really good, and particularly in that midfield, they've got super high quality players in there, and we're under no illusions what this game is going to bring. It's going to be high pressure. The two best pressure teams in the comp, they're really, really good from centre bounce and a great transition side. So as a midfield group, we're going to be on our best and make sure that we nullify their running ability and the way they've been moving the ball and scoring.
Now, Tay. Shut up, Fed, for a second.
G'day, Bill. How are you?
No, good, thank
Hello.
You.
Hello.
I just wanted to say hi, but Jim's over
there. Evolution of Fat. Taylor, tell me about the Bruz Maynard at the ground last week. His arm had actually come off his shoulder and was on the ground. Still arguing with the physios and the doctor who were trying to remove him from the game. So he must have had some severe work during the week.
Oh, he is one of the all-time funniest men you'll ever meet, Wayne Maynard. We've had a good laugh about his post-game celebrations, given the fact that he was on his way to hospital almost. But he's clearly the way he plays, you guys would see it. He's a tough competitor that doesn't miss many games. So when he came out of the game, everyone knew that he would have been sore. But he's good to go. Passed the fitness test yesterday, and he's the sort of guy. Get him to the start line, and he'll be fine.
Billy Elliott, I want to know about him because very hard to kick a goal. Tay, to go back like that, didn't even look inboard. He said, I'm the man, I'm going to do it.
Soren went, mid-runner.
Then he kicks it. Not a big carry-on and run around or anything. He just puts the, how's that for the Essendon supporters?
Yeah.
That's one of the great goals.
It is, Bill. To put yourself in that position is pretty hard. I certainly can't imagine being there, and the way that he was just so steely in his approach, and I think he was concerned about what happened on the Friday prior to the game, where the Richmond player unfortunately played on when the siren went, and he probably had that in the back of his mind. So yeah, credit to him. Went back and took the opportunity and just said, this is mine, and what a kick.
Hey, Taylor, what he did is behave with class because he is a class act, whereas Bill, I don't know if you've seen his vision, he's 25 out directly in front, and then he runs around like an absolute halfwit.
Not surprised there.
You're a Geelong supporter, weren't you, Tay Tay?
I was, mate, but I wasn't born back then.
Hey, mate, we'll let you go. Good luck not only for today, but the way the Collingwood Footy Club's playing footy is a pleasure to watch. Good luck for the rest of the year.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Righto, Jim. Guess what's up next?
Always been a beauty. Go on.
Yeah. The quiz. I've got to go early. I've got to excuse myself. The quiz up next.
Bill.
Guess what?
We're not doing it next.
Shut up, I'm in charge. Jim's over in Perth, so 2IC, Brownless.
2IC.
What's IC stand for?
The quiz up next.
And now, across Australia, on the Triple M Network. The punters love it. It's the quiz you've been waiting for.
I want the quiz, mate.
We want the quiz.
It's the Saturday Rub Quiz.
That's the people's quiz.
And here's your host, Billy Brownless.
Fat, get it right. And if it's all about Geelong, I'll cut it off halfway through.
Oh, no. Cut it off now, then.
Ring now for the quiz. 133353. It's all about Joel Selwood and his 350th game. They've even got a helicopter down there for him.
Jim, come on.
And Shane Edwards, who plays his 300th. Yeah. So a bit of...
But you've
Shane.
Dropped them questions.
No, we haven't yet. Oh. And this is all thanks to IGA Liquor, where good food deserves a great drop.
Well done.
And you can find that at IGA, and we'll give away $250 to the winner today. Let's go straight to the quiz and talk to Ethan. Hello, Ethan.
Just going to the footy, Bill.
What footy?
Oh, Pies versus Port.
Fair enough. I'm here now. It's a beautiful day. Ground's lovely.
Not for long.
Yeah.
Joel Selwood was drafted with what number pick back in 2006, Eith?
That would be number 7.
Well done. Good start. There, good start.
Swashbuckling start.
This should have been 1 or 2, but hurt his knee. Remember?
Who went 1 and 2?
Oh, a couple of blokes. Question 2. Yeah, name one of the 2 players that have won the AFLPA Robert Rose Award for the most courageous player more times than Selwood, Eith.
Ooh. I'll have a go with Sandy Roberts.
Good one, Eith. We go from Ethan to Evan. Wow. Hello, Evan.
Hey, just coming home from the gym.
Oh, good. F45?
Oh. Not quite.
Name one of the players. I can't think of any other gyms. Jim.
Brazil.
Jim, do you know any gyms, Jim?
Yeah.
Name one of 2 players that have won the AFLPA Robert Rose Award for the most courageous more times than Jolie Baby.
I'm going to go Lenny Hayes.
No. Good guess.
Good guess.
Josh is there in Stanhope. Hello, Joshy boy.
I reckon he played at North Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
Just mowing the lawn.
Mowing the lawn. Good on you. You got a Victor?
No, I got a Massport.
Oh, that's what Duck's nickname is. Name one of 2 players that won the AFLPA Robert Rose Award for the most courageous player more than Joel. A good one,
you're funny. He's laughing at himself.
Oh, Victor Carey. Josh.
Bill.
Glenn Archer.
Yes. Glenn Archer. He won it 6 times, Glenn Archer, and Paul Kelly's won it 5.
Okay.
How many did Joel win?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say.
Less, anyway.
Yeah, less than that.
Four.
Would have been nice, Will, to put that on the sheet.
What's your quiz?
Question 3. Get around him! A lifeline. You got Nuffy, of course, he's here. And you did say that Brayshaw will stay at Melbourne 3 days ago.
Yeah, I did.
No, you actually said
he'll go. I said he should.
No, you said he'll go.
No, I said he should go.
Damien's here. And Duck, old...
Have they got Uncle as well? Uncle James?
No, Uncle James. He just sits there. And
Uncle.
Oh, Victor Duck. Okay, here we go, Joshy boy. Selwood is the 4th in the VFL AFL history for playing in the most wins with 253, Duck. Which 3 players are ahead of him? The most wins VFL AFL history.
I'll go with the Duck.
The Ducky boy. Come on, Vic.
Here we go. He's just buying time to cheat.
Michael Tuck's got to be 1.
Oh, of course he does.
Well done.
He played in 7.
If you go the
7 flat,
7, yeah.
Most games, you'd think.
And KB, obviously, over 400 games, you'd have to be.
You sure? But it's wins. It's wins.
Wins, not games.
Yeah, well, they won premierships, Bill. They were a successful team, so they would have been winning a lot.
All right.
And I reckon Burgoyne would have to be.
Do you think Burgoyne?
Another 1.
Yeah.
You thought of that, did you?
Because you've got Pat without
Boomer.
Cheating.
Boomer.
What about Boomer?
No, because they went through a bad... When I left, they went through a bad...
He's pretty happy with that, dude.
I reckon those three.
Who were they again, as a matter of interest?
So KB, Tuck and Burgoyne.
He nearly forgot. Well, Josh, I know he starts with it's pretty obvious.
Yeah. Those three.
Josh...
Yeah, I'll go with the Duck.
Oh, 302 wins, Michael Tuck. Not bad, is it? Burgoyne.
When I left, they went through a bad time.
And forgot what he'd been told. He couldn't remember. Question 4, Joshy boy. Selwood won both the Rising Star Award and a premiership in 2007. Good year, that. Who is the only other player in history to do so?
Luke Jackson.
Oh, all right, Josh. Well,
bang.
Bang. Yeah. Number 5 now, lifeline.
What's a good question?
That was a good question.
So, Dark, who tripped over one day and knocked himself out, you're out.
More than one day, I think.
Who are Joel Selwood's 3 brothers? He's 3 brothers. There's 4 boys. Who are the 3 brothers?
I know this. Damien,
and you got Nuffy.
Yeah. And you won't have to cheat either, will you?
No, I'm not cheating.
He hasn't nominated
Josh.
Though.
Oh, you can go with it.
Because I know it too.
Josh.
Yeah.
Go with the purple.
Oh. Purple.
Adam, Troy, Scott.
Josh?
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Well done. Troy, Adam, Scotty.
Selwood would have got that. Yeah. Probably won't get the next one.
Well done. Selwood finished 2nd in the 2009 Norm Smith Medal voting. Behind whom? In 2011, the Norm Smith, Joel was second. Who
did he say?
He said nine the first time.
So what, yeah. Which one?
2011. Listen,
well, they're different premierships, oh, Bill.
Listen God. Up. I said 2011.
Oh, oh, dear. Right, the first time. Yeah,
like, shut up, Josh. What'd you say? Yes.
He got it right. Yeah.
Questions?
He's double dinged him.
Selwood became the game record holder at Geelong after overtaking which player, Joshy boy?
Enright.
Oh, well done.
Geez. Bill,
well done.
I love Joel Selwood as much as the next man, yeah. But I've had enough of questions about him, so come up with something else.
One more on him, and then we're going to Shane Edwards, who's a fine player. Get around him! It's a lifeline. All of 239 games for Selwood as captain has been with Chris Scott as coach. That's a good stat. The most shared by a captain and coach in VFL AFL history. Name two of the other captain-coach combinations in the top five. In the top five, two combinations, and you've only got Bernie.
Yeah. Well, Doug's putting his hand up.
Hang on. Moses is having a giggle.
Yeah. I'll go with Bernie then.
Bernie.
Well, Doug's putting his hand up, so I'm going to have to go Duck and
who?
Coach was Pagan.
Yeah.
Well, we might be.
Brisbane.
Don't help him, Will.
I'll think of this.
No, you don't. You just
who's
had,
the?
You've had Will in the ears.
So Joel Selwood, he hasn't. 239.
Yeah. What about Voss and Matthews?
Could be. I'm not sure. Joshy, what do you think?
Do you remove wins if you're a co-captain?
Oh yeah. Does that count?
I'm gonna go with. I'll go with the first one, Duck. And then I'll go Duck and Pagan. Then I'll go. Sorry, what did you say, Bern? What did you say?
I went Lee Matthews, Michael Voss.
I'm not going to go
co-captain.
Kernahan and Parkin.
Oh,
more.
No! Josh, you win.
Oh. I can only serve it up. I can't make him eat it.
Let's talk to Frank. Here's Frank. Hello, Frank.
I just got back from Bunnings, old shake.
What did you buy, Frankie, today?
Just a couple of cans of Stripes paint.
What paint?
Stripes
paint. And a sausage.
That would be Cochin and Hardwick.
And who else?
Solarium Duck and Pagan.
Very good. Hardwick, Cochin, Pagan, Carey, Lee Matthews, Voss. You were right.
Yeah, well, old enough.
There. And Nathan name? Buckley and Pendlebury were the others there.
Oh, nice.
Here we go. Two questions about the great Shane Edwards. Here we go, Frankie boy. Who are the only two Indigenous players to have won more premierships than Shane Edwards? Two Indigenous.
So Edwards is...
Shane won three. Shane's won three.
Sean Burgoyne.
Mm-hmm.
And.
Quick.
Michael Long.
No. Sorry, he's got one right there. We go to Ed. Hello, Ed. Good.
Oh,
Ed's
no.
gone. What about Chris? I think it was Chris. Hello, Chris. How are you?
It's meant to be Chris.
Just cooking noodles, Bill.
Noodles? 2 minute or? Yes, be in. Oh, it's one.
2 minute.
Noodles. Yeah, one, Bill.
Billionaire babies, just one. name the two Indigenous players who have played more premierships than Shane Edwards, Chris.
Yeah, not sure. I'll go with Burgoyne and Cyril Rioli.
Yeah. Oh, well done. Here we go, Jim. It's been a great quiz. Everyone's loved it today.
I'm just looking at the Zoom screen here, and I'm wondering when those shakes are going to kick in.
He's filling up a lot of the screen.
You could fair dinkum show a movie in wide screen on that guts of yours.
Question 10. Here we go. I'm not listening to that. IGA, thank you very much. Which teammate of Sean Edwards has played the most games?
Sean Edwards.
Oh,
no. Come on, Jim. Close this down.
Shane Edwards. Jim.
Don't even know his
Sean
name.
Edwards.
Sean Edwards. Sean Edwards.
This is a superstar we're talking about here. Can't even get his name right.
I can't. Did you try and do that?
Oh, no. Which teammate of Shane Edwards has played the most games alongside him there, Chris?
Teammate. That's a tough one.
Yeah. Well, it's number 10. It's for the prize, $250 IGA.
I'm going to say Jack Rewalt.
Oh,
all right.
Go!
Brody! Brody knows!
Thank you, Rose.
Love it.
No, well done.
Well done.
Well done.
$250 voucher.
That's it, Jim. And of course, if you're going to go to IGA, you go there where the good food deserves a great drop.
This needs to go.
I've got
to
go.
This needs to go.
I've got
to
go.
Bernard, no, you're not going yet.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm in the foyer of Crown here in Perth last night. And as you know, when a game's finished at Optus Stadium, the foyer at Crown is full of footy fans.
Yeah.
Oh, you would have loved it.
I reckon a good 50 of them came up to me and said, Jim, how bad's Bill Gunn? Every single person said the same thing. They said he can't get a sentence out. No, his jokes are a disgrace.
Yeah.
I said, they all said, how do you put up with him? No. 50 people, Bill.
People ask me if he tries to stuff it up for just to make us laugh.
And effect.
I was hoping that's the case.
It's hard to do.
Yeah, it is.
Did you work out what 2IC?
Yeah, in charge, you dick.
You didn't know that.
It wasn't that hard. I knew what it was.
No, you did.
I did so.
No, you looked it up on your phone. Yeah. Or maybe in charge.
All right, Rombo, I'm coming.
I'm not letting you go yet. You can't. You have to give us more than 43 minutes.
No, it's hard to call Shane Edwards Sean too.
Yeah.
That's hard to do.
Yeah, very hard.
And it was a typo. I should have known, but
he's blaming Will.
I'm blaming bloody Oak. Will, put it yourself on air.
Nuff to come.
Put yourself on air.
Put yourself on air.
Yeah. Hard yakker, no shortcuts. They make it tough. They make it look good.
Yeah. Oh, Will.
So you read out Sean.
Yes.
Surely you correct that.
You knew in your own head his name was Shane?
Let's go to a break and we'll all have a chat.
McDonald's and Remont Water, Triple M Rocks Footy.
Download the Listener app now to stream every game on Triple M Footy.
Lightning start.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
Now, Fat, I'm at the bar last night. I'm buying four beers.
Yes.
Not pints. Lower.
Pots.
Smaller
pots.
Glass than that. Well, they have different sizes over here, but they were smaller.
Yeah,
exactly. $58.
No.
Four of them. $58.
Well, I'll tell you how much they are at the Cremorne. $6.10, so that's $24.40.
Double that, and that's what I paid last night.
That's good markup, Jim.
I said to the lady, I'm not interested in buying a carton. I just four glasses of beer will do me. Time for some news with you, Purple, because there is plenty. I actually can't remember there being this much footy news kicking around at the moment. It's flying around everywhere. Let's start with Chris Scott.
Yeah, we will. And we'll talk about Joel Selwood, who Bill just focused the quiz on. But let's do it seriously. It is game number 350. Chris Scott has played with some of the all-time great players as a Brisbane Lions player. When asked about the question this week, who is the most important person or best person player that he's come across in his time in the game himself, he had an answer that went like this.
I just feel so privileged to have worked with such a great captain. I think the positional comparisons are hard, but in terms of... No, I'll just say it. Yeah, he's the best. I think I've said it before. Like I find it hard to compare eras, but he's the best player that I've seen in my time when you take everything into consideration. In terms of impact on a football club and assistance to a head coach, I can't think of any better.
So there you go, Bill.
Gee.
And that does incorporate a lot of the greatness of two famous clubs in premiership winning eras. Your rankings are probably as important as Chris Scott's when it comes to Geelong players because you like to stay friends with a lot of people, but you do call it the way you see it. So let's set you a little task, which you have worked on this afternoon.
Mm.
Since 2000, who's the best cat?
Gary Ablett Jr. You'd have to say that. Gary Ablett Jr. for what he's done at Geelong and obviously going up the Suns, but coming back to Geelong and great player. So Gary Ablett Jr., Joel Selwood second. When you take in everything, the leadership, he was such a kid when he came down to be the captain of the club, what he's gone through with everything, it's been unbelievable. So as a package, Joel goes in at two. Matthew Scarlett at three, what he could do for that club playing at fullback and things. Corey Enright?
Yep. In at four.
Yep. Yeah, one, two. Two best and fairest in premiership years.
Yeah.
That tells you
five-time All-Australian.
Yeah. And then you could, honestly, number five, I'm going with Jimmy Bartel.
Okay.
because I just saw him out there.
And he wasn't on your list. He goes, hang on.
But you know, I did have there Buddha Hocking, but he was a bit before
then. Yeah.
We forget how good a player Gary Hocking was.
Duck, if you, again, it's hard to do, and it's almost no reason to do it, but if you were to take out the leadership component to Joel's time in footy, the talent's there, but is it, would it be worthy of being number two on a list of that calibre, talent only?
I'm a massive Joel Selwood fan, and from the time he started, so his first year, he was a star straight
away. Impact.
And you always wondered whether he could keep going to another level. He just he does the basics well, puts his head over it, as tough as any player that I've seen play the game. I rate him very highly. I think he sits comfortably alongside the best leaders that the game has ever seen.
Yep.
Now, he holds a record for being the most capped captain, but he sits comfortably with Kernahan and Voss and Kelly and all of those guys.
Yep. What I like, Damo, about him is when the game's on the line, he elevates, to get Geelong over the line. And that Lenny Hayes was like that. There's special players that do that as a midfielder. Duck, I'm not going to embarrass him, but he did it lots of times as a power forward. But midfielders that can do that, Michael Voss, he's in that category, I reckon.
Yeah, and you're right about that. Even this year, when they were 37 points down against Collingwood in round three, and he came instrumental in the remaining quarter and 5 minutes that got them that win, Bill, which in the course of this season, now it's got better since that point, but they needed a win at that stage of this season, and he was even in this late stage of his career. Jim, the Brisbane Lions come to Melbourne to play Richmond at the MCG this weekend, tomorrow. Ducks covering it with the other boys on Triple M. They're 0-10 at the MCG, the Lions, since 2014, all these players and coaches are being asked this question about it. They keep saying it's not an issue, but just have a listen to the tone of Chris Wagan's answer about this during the week.
The truth is, we're not playing the MCG. We're playing Richmond. And the reason why we haven't won at the MCG the last few years is because when we've played there, we haven't played well enough. I just find all this stuff, I understand it's about setting up the story. So the story on Monday will be, if the Lions win, you can win the flag because you won at the MCG. And if we lose, you can't win the flag because you can't win at the MCG. That's how to roll, and we all understand that. And we fully embrace the fact that we haven't won at the MCG, and we're trying like hell to win there on the weekend, and that's our goal. But if we don't, it won't stop us from trying to achieve the ultimate this year. It's as simple as that.
He's not wrong on any of that, Bird, and that's the way we absolutely will do it in the media. And he's right in that regard. But I just detect a little bit of annoyance at the issue. And I heard Dane Zorko during the week ask it as well, and he just said something like, we're not talking about it. Well, maybe you should. Yeah. You keep losing.
Maybe embrace it and go with it. He sort of contradicted himself a little bit there. But no, they need to win. They need to win here because, as we all know, keep getting spoken about until they do.
They don't play here often.
How many times a year? Three?
And the teams they
not even.
And the teams
not
even. They have played here have been good teams.
Yeah, Melbourne. Yeah.
But it'd be nice to win one.
But Duck, they've had three.
That's where the big dance is.
No, I know that.
You go to little school dance all year, and this is where the good.
Well, listen, Bill says that, and I bet you in about 4 weeks, JB, he'll be saying that the Cats should have a final down.
Home final.
Why don't you just play it at the G, Bill?
I'm happy to play at the G. We are happy. We play anywhere, anytime, on the moon. Who said that?
What's wrong
the ball
with
wouldn't bounce too much up there. There'll be a lot of atmosphere.
Purple Liam Jones.
He's going to go. That's him.
Tell us about him.
Sorry, Jim.
Liam Jones.
Yeah. Look, the talk now is other clubs are feeling that Western Bulldogs have struck a deal with Liam Jones. That will be made official in the official transaction because Carlton, even though they have removed him from their world this year, he's still officially in the AFL yearbook listed as a Carlton player.
And they want him back so they can get a pick.
They don't want him back on their list. They just want him back now. Again, what he's worth.
How does that work?
They just want to get something for not having access to him. Look, it's a secondary issue, but all other clubs who were keen to see what he was going to do next year, Duck, have now felt that the Western Bulldogs have got him and that at 32 years of age, which he will be next February, a three-year deal is in the office.
So 3 years?
I'm staggered.
It's a little bit of a risk. He's had a whole year off.
Yeah.
Playing footy, though, but not every week.
In Queensland.
They need him, by the way.
They do.
It's risky.
But worth the risk, I reckon, for the Dogs.
Do you think so?
Well, Alex Keith, and then they drop right off.
They've dropped Alex Keith for this.
He's not in great form. So I don't. They haven't got key defenders.
A 32-year-old, though. as Damo said, with a year off footy.
Mm.
And I know he was, I do believe he was actually coming into, he was playing some pretty good footy, very Liam good. Jones. Yep. You know, the way he reads it, he's dynamic, and, intercept marks, all that sort of stuff. But
they must have done their homework and watched him.
Oh,
and
clearly.
He
yeah.
must be, yeah. He well, must be still four, going pretty well. Yeah. To get 3 years at 32.
Well, again, the 3 years is yet to be signed off on, but that's what other clubs are saying in terms of the approaches they've made to Liam and the fact that they now feel that he's convinced they're convinced that he's going to the Bulldogs.
Tyson Heppel, stay there, Fat. Don't think you're going anywhere.
Yeah, he's trying to sneak off, Jim.
He's got an offer to play for the Bombers in 2023, Jim, but it's underwhelming in his eyes. He's coming off big money, and it needs to obviously be reduced given his status and stage of his career. But it's certainly not at a level that he's going to sign to stay. And there is interest from other clubs. And right now, it's at best, Bill, a line ball sort of situation.
Surely when it comes he doesn't to, leave us.
You wouldn't think so. You wouldn't think so, but he's not going to accept the deal that's in front of him right now.
It's a bit of Buddy Franklin.
Sub rule,
Jim, as we've seen, there's just so much ambiguity.
Well, you get stuck. You're not listening
about
to me
this particular.
Because you're not making sense.
No one listens to you.
He's gone.
No, Jim just said you've got to come back.
He's only an hour. He's leaving early.
He's gone. He's given us 57 minutes of his best today, and he's out.
Can you believe that?
No, actually, yes, I can.
The whole Ben Miller situation last week with Richmond saying, quote, full body cramp, and not then referencing him in any injury report during the course of the week. Again, there's nothing wrong with what they did. The medicos signed him off to say he couldn't play the rest of that game, but the fact that the AFL rules allow for that type of, I'm going to say, Jim, manipulation when it comes to team placement at that stage of a game, to bring on fresh legs. It's an AFL problem, not a club's problem. The club will always find a loophole in whatever rules are in front of them.
I told you, homeboy.
Clean belly, bill of health.
Enough now.
Yeah, that's how we living, and you know.
Unprecedented.
Gonna try and get back out there.
That's what you call enough now.
Break it down.
Good. Bluey, we haven't heard from Bluey for a while.
No, he's gone to ground.
I wonder if he might be in today or not.
Good.
Yeah, we'll just see. I want to start with a former teammate of mine. And as we heard in the opener, we've had Embers have a meltdown. Brownie's had a number of meltdowns. We've seen Bluey. My ex-teammate, Jordan Lewis. Now, he just completely capitulated on the footy call last week.
Maybe that's his technique, even when he is 50 metres out, but could have given it a bit more.
That's right up there.
Oh no!
I thought I'd start with a zinger.
Had to come on.
I don't even know what he meant. I think I don't actually know where he's trying to go with that.
Let's listen to that again.
Yeah, do you want to go again? Okay, let's go.
Maybe that's his technique, even when he is 50 metres out, but. Could have given it a bit more.
What is he trying to give it a bit more? He's completely lost there. I hope he's not listening because he can filth up.
Yeah, he does.
He can really filth up. And maybe just put my phone on silent, make sure it's on silent because it won't be too long. Hey, now on to Brownie, who I just mentioned. Duck talking about throwing glass bricks. Well, he just got a bit mixed up with break and brick and whether he's going on holiday or building a house.
Collingwood taking on Essendon from the MCG. Choice Hotels around the ground need a brick. Book direct and save with choicehotels.com.
What the hell?
I think he's trying to say break. Need a break. Need a break. Book through Choice Hotels and not need a brick. We're not going to build a house. But anyway, and then he continued on in the same game. Well, you listen.
He's taken the game by the scruff of the neck in this corner.
The scruff.
When Duck's picking you up, you're in trouble.
Doesn't Duck just dine out on him and make a mistake with him?
He does. He loves it.
Well, Duck, now I've mentioned you. I'm not sure what you're trying to do here. Either laugh or explain something.
It's got to be hard. Hard and low at that white post.
What is that?
Actually, what were you trying to do?
I don't know what I'm
I want to hear that one again.
Yeah, let's go again.
It's got to be hard. Right.
And he goes up in tempo too. I got out of his seat. And now on to our man Ash. He's becoming a regular here. This time for just completely making up stats.
Gee, 4-1 from defensive mid the pies. That's a big number, too. What would a game average be?
Yeah, game average, Ross, probably about 10 points thereabouts, if that.
10 points?
Yeah, I made that up, but...
Mason Cox back here. Huge climb, and then...
Ross seems real happy with that. Yep. I reckon the point we knew where he's making up when he goes, oh, thereabouts, if that, I'll get back to you. Yep. Hey, now, need to go to your mate, Jim, Dittmar. We need to go to Adelaide. Now, he's a Port Nuff, grew up in Alberton, right next to Alberton Oval, and loves Port Adelaide. Well, he got his grounds mixed up last week.
Georgiades from the goal square makes no mistake. Port Adelaide, what a start at the Alberton Oval. The Alberton Oval, the Adelaide Oval. They're getting carried away. It's a big start.
He's gone with their training base, Alberton Oval.
Come on.
Let's go on to Ross. And, well, last week, they need a bit of preparation, I think, last Sunday. Duck, you were there for a segment called Hitch the Caravan. And, well, I don't think Ross had done his preparation. And just listen for the,
JC also reminded everybody to come with something for his brand new segment, Hitch Your Caravan. He even got the producer to send us a reminder this morning to make sure we come fully loaded for Hitch Your Caravan.
Seems really up and about for it. Did you hear it?
No.
We forget about it every week. No.
There it is.
Every week.
Every week. He can...
That must be a good segment, Duck.
Well, Ross is really pumped about that one. Now, we all spoke about it and we had a bit of fun with the memo that went out, the email.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, Ross just got caught up in the moment again, but to his credit, he apologised.
Here comes a big banger from 60, and then he just sets it up very disappointingly to the top of the square.
Oh!
To mark the Collingwood. I think it's Lipinski, is it?
Johnson.
Johnson's kicked two already. This is for number three. And all of a sudden, it's a six-goal lead.
Well, I apologise for the awe, but our commentary...
No, that's all right. That added to the commentary that time, Ross. That's fine.
So, I apologise about the awe. Well, you've been awing a lot, actually, in other segments. There it is again. Hey, speaking of that memo, it was completely thrown out the window here because it was a... Well, it was a showdown. It was Duck v Brownie, and there was about 14 different conversations going on here at the one time. You listen.
Does every club have a designated ruck coach?
I don't think Collingwood do. They used to.
Greg Stafford has done the job at Melbourne for a long time
forward. No, he's a forward.
Well, that's the soft cap kicking in. I think he's Eddie McGuire talks about it.
He still does some ruck
he's
work.
He's forward coach.
But he does some ruck work with it.
No,
yeah.
He's forward coach.
So he doesn't do any ruck work at all with the ruckman.
He's forward coach.
Right. So who does the ruck work?
Was rocker, but I'm not sure he's...
We're talking about Melbourne.
And you had Aaron Sanderland, and he's
the ruck coach. He's the ruck coach of Freo.
And how did you rate his service to
Aaron? What do I show you to?
Good Ross at the end. You're on your own show, you two.
What was any of that?
What was it about?
I couldn't understand. I'm listening to it from Perth. I'm like, I don't get any of that conversation.
Brownie wouldn't give up. He kept saying that Greg Stafford was the ruck coach at Melbourne. And
he's forwards coach.
He's the forwards coach. Yeah. And Brownie kept saying, no, he's the ruck coach.
No, he's saying he does a bit of ruck work. Like, no,
and then Rocker came into the conversation. Someone, he's at North. What was that about?
He's at Collingwood. I don't know what was going on. But it's, speaking of speaking over, I think there's four people talking at once there at one stage.
Yep.
Hey, let's get on to Joey. Joey, to themselves, different conversations. Hey, Joey Montagna, he's the ultimate pro, very good at most things. Well, I found one thing he's not good at, and that is mathematics.
They will keep coming, and they're back within 8 points. They're 10-7. It's 12. 8 points. 12 points. What is it? 11-7. 60.
8 points.
8 points of margin. 10-7. 67. The Bombers 11-9. 75.
It's up on that big screen, though, if you want to know.
Who's winning the pylon after out of Duck and Ross?
Ross.
Duck loves it too. Yeah. Can't wait for someone to make a mistake. And now Bill's gone, and as you said, Jim, it's been a big week for him.
Horrible week.
Just an ordinary week for him. Ash, he tried to go back to when Ash called Scott Pendlebury scont, and well, here it is.
Got one of their prime movers. Actually, got Scott Pendlebury in the rooms with me.
So he wanted to go back to
still
that
one of my favourites
when he's talking about it and go, you know, well, he tried to reenact that, but, well, he had his own version of what Ash said.
200 as captain, Scott Pendlebury. Well done, Snot.
Scont.
Scont, sorry. 200
Snot. Snot Pendlebury. Yeah.
He's trying to be a smart aleck, and he's gone with Snot, and when it was Scont. But then he had some real issues with, well, I think he's trying to get osteoporosis out.
Oh, my God.
What do you get when your bones get a bit bristle? What's that called?
A bit bristle.
Bristle. Yeah, when you don't drink enough milk and stuff. What's that called? I don't know.
Osteopubis,
that's it.
Osteopubis. No, that's it. Yep, that's the one.
And you both get bristle.
How brittle, Bill?
It's just all sorted in there. And then I had to actually cut a lot of bills because we could only talk about that man for so long. So I had to move on. But, geez, it was a funny week for him. Now, Rocky in Adelaide. Well, he's had a few. He's becoming a regular too, don't worry. Well, he's trying to read these names out. And he should probably actually read what he's about to read because live is just not a good thing for him.
Winnington, Titmus, Hodge and Stubblitly Cook. And they won the mixed 4x100 freestyle relay.
So I think he eventually went with Stubblitly Cook.
It is a hard one, though.
It is. Now, I mentioned Bluey off the top, and I've just managed to find something that happened during the week. And, yes, you are right, Jim. It is a live read, and he butchers it. Well, the noise just comes out again. I don't know what happens with him. You be the judge. He's your man.
Proudly brought to you by the...
No.
By the way, he was just meant to say proudly brought to you by McDonald's, by the way. Let's have another listen.
No.
And does he get anywhere near McDonald's?
Proudly brought to you by
I think he had Mick in it. Mick. The there might have been a Mick. I'll give him the Mick bit, but I didn't get the Donald's. Just lost it.
How do you
oh, I don't know. The pressure gets to him. And, when the lights come on, his lights go off, as Jared says. But enough of the week. Hit it, host.
Enough of the week.
Now, I don't get too many opportunities at this, man, but when they arise and come across my desk, we need to go hard at them, and it's the man to my right, Damien Barrett.
Here we go.
He's had a bit of a tough week, Damo, and he's becoming slightly regular in this, and I love it. Let's listen.
Daze, I've seen you thread goals at the MCG off balance with your left foot from 45 out.
Oh, yeah.
I've just seen you try and put onto your head a set of headphones
yes.
in a way that was the most uncoordinated.
Uncoordinated with four O's. Uncoordinated.
There's an uncoordinated way of saying uncoordinated.
You find a way of making simple things. Uncoordinated.
Need to hear it again.
Yes. Listen again.
Uncoordinated.
We'd love that. That's enough of the week for this
See,
week.
See, Purple, I'm being very serious when I say this. I blame Bill. because Bill's inability to speak infiltrates all of us.
It does, in the end,
you lose your own confidence in the words that you're saying being correct. You start second-guessing yourself about the way you pronounce things. It's his fault.
Yep.
Yeah, well, you work with him every day, Jim, and you're okay.
He has brought you down. That's what's happened. Hey, I'll tell you what, we need to get to a break. Well done, Bernard. Very, very nice helping.
That was
helping.
A good version of it, Ben.
Good helping.
Very
man.
Nice.
Good helping.
We have BT and Jim. Duke not far away. What about that for a calling duo?
Oh, yeah.
This game between Collingwood and Port Adelaide at the MCG, two of the finest. They're coming shortly. You're going to have a bit more news out of Purple and then a big preview of Port Adelaide and Collingwood from the Triple MCG for Hard Yakka, McDonald's and Remot Water. Triple M Rocks Footy.
The Listener app is the home of everything Triple M footy.
This will be the game.
Listen live or on demand. Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
Duck, I want to pick your brains on Luke Jackson. I'm over here in the West. BT last night said that his intel, and he's got very good intel in Perth, is that he is 100% done coming to Freo. Melbourne have basically given up on trying to maintain him and are now trying to put a deal together. 5 years, 6 years, 800, 850, they're all the numbers being thrown around.
Yep.
Is Luke Jackson worth that? I think he's just played his 47th game.
Right now, no. Quite simply, he's not worth that. But I always say, you know, he's not going to knock back that sort of money. You are what someone's prepared to pay, I guess. But it's certainly premature on what he's given out. I think he's polled seven coaches' votes this year, JB. I think he had seven disposals last night.
10th at Melbourne.
I think he's had, the most marks he's taken in a game is seven.
So is that good speculation? If you're Freo, if you're Peter Bell, Duck, are you saying I'm still paying that?
Well, they will pay it because they want him, but I'm not sure for Luke it's the right move for him right now.
Because he's going to play forward.
If he's going to play forward and be the number one key forward and unproven as exactly that, I think it's a massive risk. If I was Luke Jackson, and by the way, this is just personal opinion, if I'm Luke Jackson, I'm staying at Melbourne for another couple of years, hopefully win another. They've certainly got the ability to win another premiership in that time. And that offer's always going to be there, JB.
What if he wins another one this year, Dark, and he wants to get home, clearly? I mean, he had the sample of Perth last year. And Jim, you know the way it works. If this situation is in front of everyone where Fremantle has the opportunity to get Luke Jackson now, there's a realisation and understanding you've just got to pay more than what you would like to play in an ideal world.
All right, so what then can Freo put together to keep Melbourne happy? Because he's a pick three overall. They will get nothing like pick three in this upcoming draft. If, you know, they finish fifth, sixth on the ladder, they'll get sort of 13, 14, somewhere around there. So what do they do?
And also, what did Melbourne get to? What can they get to for Luke Jackson?
Yeah, well, that's the unknown now, isn't it? And they just don't have the leverage as a starting point. They'll be able to free up some money by way of moving even Logue and Lobb off their books and maybe even Akers. Now, you add it all up, there's a bit of money to come in there. But in terms, Jim, to what your point is, what does Melbourne get for that by way of their own national draft pick transactioning? Good luck. I mean, we've all covered the trade period. There's nothing obvious right now that they can do to appease what Melbourne will want because, as you say, he was a pick three. He's more than delivered in the three seasons of footy he's played as a pick three. So three is your entry point and there's got to be something else you would think inside the top 10.
Oh, yeah.
And I would think even Melbourne may want something more than that as well as a starting point. There's a reality component to it all, but good luck trying to get that part of it done. And that's why West Coast will still be in the conversation until Fremantle can get it done.
Jeez, they're going to have to work hard, Bernard, to put that deal together.
A lot going on.
The pick three is going to be not impossible. You can always do it, but maybe a future first round pick as well, and maybe you've got to throw a player in. I mean, it's going to be one of those massive deals.
It'll have to be a future involved, possibly for a couple of seasons beyond the current one.
But that's the unknown as well. Like, we don't know where Fremantle are going to finish next year. Yep. They could be, you know, top six again, you'd probably think. Yep. So that puts you at the back end of the first round. Again, that's nowhere near pick three.
Hmm.
So it's going to be it's an interesting one, isn't it?
Really tough, yeah. Because they do need to transact. Jim, Alistair Clarkson, we've been talking about him all year. The official arrangements around it now, there's two coaching vacancies. Both clubs are very interested in him. Obviously, GWS has now had three meetings, two of them quite official, one just a sounding out scenario. North Melbourne, we know, and I'm happy to say that they will exclusively deal with Alistair Clarkson to a point. Now, what that point is for the determination of the club and Alistair, but there's going to be a lot of questions asked from both sides, but they will keep in the background all other candidates in that space. Again, given its move this week in that space, your views as a former chairperson of the club as to that approach with a North Melbourne perspective?
I would be going as hard as you can after the little master. And if he says he's not available, then, you know, I'm on record as saying that you go to the next available, you know, really good quality experienced coaches. So they, for me, are Leon Cameron, they're Don Pike. I would be talking to Ken Hinckley. I know he's still attached to Port Adelaide, but he is high quality. And if they are wobbling with him and he's wobbling with them, then maybe you say to him, well, you know, we've got a four-year deal, you know, for you here. If you want to leave, I mean, they're the conversations you'd have, but you're only having them once Clarko says he's, you know, not coming in. Yep. Hopefully he doesn't say that.
And that is the viewpoint the club, I believe, has, that they will explore the only with Alistair Clarkson for some time. Now, again, when that some time hits the point where they both need to open up conversations with others and other scenarios, but it will be with Alistair, and he's got that decision to make.
So, Bernie, you're Adelaide. What do you think about Ken Hinckley? Where is he at?
Well, I think there's no problem with the players. The players, he's got them right on board. They love him, love working with him. But there comes a point in time where you lose the fans. And I think he's at that tipping point just about now. There's been...
Do you?
In Adelaide, there's been stickers put up on Port Road down near Alberton saying, sack Hinckley. And I know that's only one thing and one person doing that, but it's every Port person I speak to. I think they're almost at the point where they want a fresh start. They need to move on. It's been, 10 years, a few prelims, haven't actually got to the grand final, been very close, probably should have been a couple of times, really. And they just think, you know what, maybe fresh set of eyes over the books here can get something done. So I think he's starting to lose the fans. Players, no problem. They love him.
Yep. And as you say, Bernie, contracted for next year at the Port. But a lot to play out in that space. Jim, we touched on before when we spoke with Taylor Adams, the fact that Brody Grundy was playing in the VFL. Mitch Cleary just tweeting that he's got through the game unscathed, which is really the only significance out of it. 3.5 quarters of match time for Brody, according to Mitch. 21 hitouts, 11 disposals. 8 tackles, that's a team high, 8 tackles, a few scraps. Look, he's got through, so he's going to be in contention now for a return as early as round 21.
I love it. BT moving in, boys. He is Mr. Perth. I've witnessed him a couple of times over here. He owns this town, Brian. He's got every single angle clocked.
And he's going to... He's listening.
He can hear you, Jim.
No worries. He is the man. And we all just stand back in awe of Brian. He runs this city. He and Duke are going to call this game magnificently. Port Adelaide and Collingwood. And that's happening at the Triple MCG for Hard Yakka. New breed of Aussie legends, McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M Rocks, Saturday afternoon footy.
Triple M Rocks footy.